Hello. Good morning. Well, I'm not Dave Smith, if you could figure that out, but I'm Bill Ottley instead. But anyways, just pray for Dave and Kathy, Lord, as they relax. And today we're going to look at Galatians 5, verse 25 through verse 6, verse 5. We're going to look at restoration. As we've been going through this series on having a grace culture in the church, we've seen grace versus legalism throughout Galatians, and it's a main theme. And there's a thin line between grace and legalism. Under grace, you can pray, you can read the Bible, you can worship, etc. Under legalism, you can pray, read the Bible, worship, etc. And to a human, there doesn't seem to be much difference, if any, initially. God sees the heart, of course, but there is a difference. Under grace, we have a favored relationship with the Almighty God. Under legalism, it's just rules and duty and being religious. And there may be a thin line, but that thin line grows and becomes a canyon that you cannot cross. Legalism is a glaring thing, and the two, grace and legalism, never meet. So the book of Galatians deals with this glaring difference. This morning we're going to look at restoration. And after what Paul has been trying to teach the churches of Galatia and us, there was plenty of people that needed restoration. And so Paul's addressing the process to do that here. And so we'll look at that here in a moment. A culture of grace can be a part of a church. It's grace is a gift of God. And it is a gift that's imparted to us believers. But it's also something we need to give away to others, the blessing. People can participate in a culture of grace, and grace, we receive it, but we also give it. There's many around us that need grace. There's many in this church, many outside this church that need to receive grace and then give grace. So before we start here, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Help us receive what you would teach us today and imprint it in our hearts. Lord, for those of us that may need restoration, there's that opportunity to step in. And then for those of us that can step alongside of a friend, Lord, help us step up as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, it says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Gracious restoration. There are three participants in a gracious restoration. First one's the Holy Spirit. The second one would be the person needing a restoration. The third one would be the person coming alongside the person needing a restoration. So let's look at the Holy Spirit here and look at some basic Bible doctrinal truths there about his ministry as he would perform a restoration in a person's life. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's God. He's all-knowing. He's present everywhere. He's all-powerful, and he's eternal. So, when a person needs a restoration, the Holy Spirit ministers to them in the following ways. The first one I want to talk about is a title of his, Advocate. He is their advocate. The Bible says here in John 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. In different translations of the Bible, we see different words used for advocate. We see the word helper. We see the word comforter. We see the word counselor. We see the word paraclete, one that would come alongside. And the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. He's a consoler. He's a helper. He's an advocate that comes alongside. He makes a right assessment of a situation. And because he's close enough to that situation, he sees and understands the issues the person is having. He knows what is needed, and he creates a path of restoration for the person. The Holy Spirit is the helper the Father sent after Jesus ascended. Okay, the second one we want to look at here is Spirit of Truth, another title of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit possesses, reveals, and he teaches, he leads us, he guides us, he testifies to the truth. He's the one who is the teacher of the truth. And so he'll lead us into deeper knowledge of the Bible, the truth. The truth is what sets people free. The third area here we're going to look at is the Holy Spirit reveals. It's a ministry he has. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. It says, What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What he has revealed is not the spirit, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has given us freely. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. He also knows the deep things in our hearts. And so he'll minister, he wants to minister graciously to a person for their well-being, for God's glory. The person needing the restoration, God will reveal to him, gives insight, cleansing, forgiveness, redemption, healing. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. So through the ministries, these three areas, the Holy Spirit's going to minister a restoration. He ministers by coming alongside the person as their advocate, as a help, as a comfort, as a counsel. Secondly, he's going to teach and guide the person in the truth that'll set them free. And third, he will reveal the deep things of God and then the things in their hearts that need change. The Holy Spirit resides in the believer, and he's committed to restoring someone who's struggling with sin. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit. And that speaks about having a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, an abiding fellowship, a close relationship with God. Our physical life, our spiritual life, everything we receive through the Spirit. We can have an ongoing relationship with God by faith. The second part of the verse says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit expresses a constant application of God's word and spiritual direction. Keeping in step with the Spirit is a walk of faith. God gives us divine guidance as we follow. He awakens our hearts. He quickens our spirits. The Christian life is a walk step by step. Our spiritual life grows and matures as we keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us and we follow. The Bible says, but those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law, in Galatians 5:18. So we need to practically apply God's word to our lives. It's not an automatic thing. And we open our hearts to receive from God. He reveals to us. We apply what God's revealing to us, and we follow the Spirit's leading. We keep in step with Him. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's the first participant in a gracious restoration. Now we'll look at the second person, which is the person needing the restoration, and we're going to look at Galatians 6 now, verses 1 and 2. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So the second participant is the person needing the restoration. This passage here gives a hypothetical situation. Someone's caught in sin. And the individual, he feels trapped. He's struggling. And the sin may have been hidden for a long time, and all of a sudden it comes to light. And so he's under the weight of, maybe he feels guilty, heavy heart there. And he's burdened with the sin and guilt. It's become more than he can bear. When a person is struggling with sin, they tend to isolate themselves from people more and be less transparent. They're overcome by their sin and their circumstances. They need a restoration. God wants to do this. The word restore here in verse 1 is it's a medical term where you would set a bone that's broken. I remember I broke my leg when I was 4 years old, was set in a cast. So they straightened the bone, set it. And there's another instance in Matthew chapter 4 where James and John are mending nets, the fishing nets. And Jesus comes and he says, follow me. And they leave the nets to follow him. Well, they're doing the restoring of the net. And so restoration is taking something that is wrong and broken and mending it and setting it, making it right. And it's not neglecting the wrong, the sin, that has to be dealt with, but it's not exposing it, overexposing it, and gossiping of, oh, look what they did kind of thing. It's straightening and setting things proper in a person's life and in order. The needs of a of people, when we're with these people, they need restoration. They start unloading their hearts. And it can be kind of overwhelming at times where, you know, there's so many things happening and so many things that are bringing, that are weighing them down. It can be a bit overwhelming. The needs are great. So you may ask yourself, how can I meet such needs? I got an answer for you. You can't meet any of them, because you can't take away a sin from a person's heart. You can't bring comfort. You can't take the guilt away. That's not your job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. But you can pray. You can listen. You can follow how the Holy Spirit guides you in the situation. But what are their needs? What is a person, what needs does a person have that needs restoration? Okay, there are four of them. Love. Unmerited love. Number two, acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. Number three, forgiveness. Total forgiveness. And number four, fellowship. A relationship with another believer is a gift from God, not only to the one being restored, but to the one that wants to befriend them. So we need love, acceptance, forgiveness, and fellowship. Those are the needs. Sin, circumstances, problems, they tend to weave together and get overwhelming, and they suffocate a person. The person that needs restoration, he or she does not feel love. He or she does not feel acceptance. He or she does not feel forgiveness. And they're isolated. They're outside of life-giving fellowship. They need a gentle restoration. Restoration is not a single act, by and large. It's a process. It's a delicate work that takes time and tenderness. Gentleness is a divine virtue. It's divine strength that overcomes sin with a gentle touch. Gentleness is a divine strength to walk by faith, taking the next step with Jesus. Okay, so that was the second participant. The third participant is someone who come alongside, a spiritual person. We'll look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 through 5 here with this one. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. The third participant is a person God calls to come alongside, a person needing to be restored. In the version I'm using, it says one who lives by the Spirit. In some Bibles, it says spiritual person, those that are spiritual. Okay, so we need to define who qualifies in this spiritual, be the spiritual person. Now, if I handed out a sheet of paper to each one of you, you started writing down, what is a spiritual person? We started putting the taping the papers up on the front wall here. We probably all would get some very good answers. But the list would probably go from this wall to the wall way on the other end of the church. So I'm going to give you a few items here and see if you would these were your answers. spiritual person. A spiritual person is available to God and to people in need. A spiritual person applies God's word to their life and service. A spiritual person is sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We read that in verse 525. Also, is a spiritual person is continually filled with the Spirit. A spiritual person desires to grow in their walk with Christ. A spiritual person is alert and watchful to sin and temptation in themselves and other people. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And Galatians 5:16 says that. A spiritual person manifests spiritual fruit in their life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A spiritual person receives grace and gives grace. Oh, there's one other thing. A spiritual person isn't perfect. And if you think you are perfect, you need a restoration, I guess. So, yeah. But none of us are perfect. Actually, we need restorations every so often ourselves. The process of restoring, helping restore someone, really will reveal our character and our spiritual maturity. So the whole process is one where the one that helps restore is going to be growing probably as much, if not more, as the one that needs to be restored. Okay, our thinking, if we're going to help restore someone, we got to. What are we thinking? If anyone thinks he is something, Okay, let's think of God. Think of God. Who he is, what he does. He's sovereign, he's all-knowing, he's present everywhere, he's all-powerful, eternal. Okay, now think of yourself. I'll use myself as an example. Let's see, I'm not sovereign, and I don't know everything. I think when I got out of Bible college, I think I knew more, but now... No, I don't know as much as I thought I did. Present everywhere, not at all. Sometimes I'm present in a place and I'm not present there either. So, there's God Almighty and then us. God is something, absolutely. Me? Not so much. You know, if we think we're something, we're really sliding towards legalism. And we're slipping away from grace, God's grace. So the Holy Spirit is here in a restoration. He's here, he's in charge. I'm just a person with a person, actually, if I'm going to be the spiritual person, that needs love. That needs acceptance, that needs forgiveness. All I am is a child of God, and all I am is available to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants me to do, to be a blessing. Okay, our walk. Now, we read it earlier, but in Galatians 5:26, it says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Conceit, provocation, envy, and jealousy are symptoms of a legalistic heart. And legalism is self-centered. Grace is other-centered. And so if we're going to walk with God, we need to walk in grace. need to legalistic attitudes imprison people. And so if we're struggling with legalism, it's not really the time to be a spiritual person to someone else. Legalism jeopardizes the power of the Holy Spirit that gives spiritual freedom. Legalistic attitudes become barriers between people. A gracious attitude receives grace and gives it to another. Okay, our service, when we serve another person, serve with the Lord's help. We as a believer, we're supposed to be dead. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let Jesus live through you. And the process of restoration, we're only available to the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. We're there, we desire to see a person who's struggling get free, get forgiven, become complete, become strengthened, adjusted to walk with Jesus fully again in an appropriate way. The good things that are going to happen are going to happen because God's doing our work. And we're there to witness it. We can take pride in what God is doing. And don't compare, if another restoration is close by, don't compare what you're involved with what someone else is involved with. It's a privilege just to be a part of serving another person for Jesus. I was thinking of, it talked about carrying your load there, and I was thinking of an example. I thought of Peter. There was a time when Peter denied his Lord 3 times. And then Jesus was resurrected and met up with Peter. And Jesus began to restore Peter back. Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Yes, Lord, Peter responded. 3 times. And feed my sheep, Jesus said. But then just shortly after that restoration, Jesus is talking about what's going to happen to Peter in the future. And Peter sees John walk by. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, what about him? why do we do that? I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus said, but it's something like this. None of your business. Peter, you follow me. And I think sometimes Jesus needs to say that to us too. None of your business. Follow me. It's God who calls. God makes a decision. He calls us. You carry your load, your own load. Follow me. And so don't look around. Concentrate on what God's given you to do. Just say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, help me. Lord, use me. Restoration. I was thinking back about 20 years. Actually, it's been 20 years now. Restoration that took place in my life. 20 years ago, my family, we were in Southwest Iowa. And I was pastoring a small church. And after being there a while, there were some problems that came to light and needed to be dealt with. And after giving attention to these problems, there was some changes that happened in the church. And one of them was I didn't get my weekly salary for 17 weeks. I continued doing everything I was doing in the church. I did adult Sunday school. I did preach the morning service. We had an evening service, preach that. And a Bible study Wednesday night, adult study, I led that. And I visited people. You know, I just kept doing what I was doing. I'm not saying it was easy. But I tried not to share that frustration with the congregation. I'm sure Lori got some of the frustration, brought some of that home, and my children, Cindy, Brian, and Allison. Through that experience, though, God was just so faithful. And one of the ways he was faithful was I also, one of the things I did every week was I attended a prayer meeting with some other ministers. Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock. And we would pray for each other. We pray for the community. We pray for our churches, different things. And so at this prayer meeting, it was normally Ken, Andy, Fred, and then me. And I would say their situation saved me. Because Ken, Andy, and Fred, they listened. They were concerned. They ministered to me, my wife, my family. They encouraged us. They were spiritual people that were restorative. And I came out of that situation because three guys came alongside of me. As we head to closing this, maybe there's someone here today, or maybe you're on the live stream, and you realize you need a restoration. You're caught in sin, you're struggling, you're hurting, you're wondering if there's any hope. I want to encourage you to take a step towards your restoration. God has a person of grace for you as well. So take a step. Take a step towards someone that you feel you can trust. And just talk with them. Maybe gradually share your situation, your hurts. But see if there's concern there. If there is, I think you found your person of grace. Someone that'll pray for you, that'll walk with you, as the Holy Spirit does a deep work in your heart. Then there's another group we talked about today, spiritual people, and maybe some of you need to step up to that. You could partner with the Holy Spirit. You could be a person of grace to somebody else. The Lord wants to lead you. The Lord wants to guide you. He wants you to partner with Him. Be alert to what's happening around you. Be alert to needs you may see. And then it's time to take a step. gracious restoration takes place by the Holy Spirit and by the fellowship of a concerned person. That's where it takes place. But the spiritual person, it might be you're going to grow through that. And you're going to see you probably need a restoration in the process of that. You know what? I think there may be a person for you there too. Be that person that you're trying to touch. Remember, receive grace, give grace. We need people of grace in our lives. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, there's, as Paul wrote to churches in Galatia, where there were probably dozens, hundreds of people that needed restoration. And you laid out this process, the Holy Spirit, a person in need, and a person who will walk beside. Lord, I just pray that you would just touch hearts where we're at. Someone needs to take a step towards their restoration, and others need to take a step towards someone to walk with them through the restoration. Lord, just work in your people. Help us to take a next step with Jesus and to grow closer to you and to be restored. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless. Go in peace.